Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two trucks having sex. Two trucks having sex. My muscles involuntarily flex. Two pickup trucks making love. American made.
Listen up, Auto Thoughts and Deceptive Clowns. You're listening to Prime Cuts, a non-linear history of the Transformers franchise on television. I'm one of your hosts, Nero.
I'm your other host, Audrey.
Boss, you killed a child. That right there is why you're the best, boss.
we kind of reached like new levels of child endangerment here. I get the criticisms a little more now.
Optimus loves to endanger children across all times and spaces. He loves it.
I have at least three times written down, Dot is literally so correct.
He can't get enough of it. We watched Samurai Says Earthspark 19 and 20. A stiggy situation.
I think it's supposed to be how we pronounce that, as in sticky.
Yeah, a stiggy situation and disarmed.
Yeah, boy, does that name become bad.
I thought Hardtop would be more important than that episode, but he's not really that important.
Yeah, I thought all of the Decepticon prisoners were going to be more important. I thought there was like a plot going on there, but no. The Malto children are out for a lovely walk.
Yeah, they're out in the woods, you know, doing kids stuff, collecting flowers, taking selfies. There's a dinosaur though. Grimlock has arrived.
As they say later on this episode, he ran all the way from Philadelphia to Witwicky in dino mode somehow. I do wonder how he ended up in Witwicky.
He walked.
No, I know. You know what I mean.
I guess he might have followed Bumblebee.
Maybe there was still something instinctual for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a ghost agent, apparently.
Yeah, he did a lot of people, for ghosts.
A lot of people disappointingly ghost agents in this episode, I have to say.
Yeah, the Wheeljack has the badge on this time.
Boo, maybe, we hate your pussy.
Maybe they just forgot to put it on him in the first episode. I don't know. Grimlock doesn't have the ghost badge, though.
No, that's why I said apparently. But maybe that was just, they just, like, changed it for him to go undercover. That's possible.
Yeah, maybe so.
Anyway, this may surprise some of you, but it turns out he's actually still big mad.
Yeah, he's still rampaging, and the Maltos have to kind of wrangle him and knock him out for his own good here. Bumblebee tries to help, but his arm is still fucked up because this takes place literally the next day from home part two.
So anyway, he gets EMP'd, idiot. I mean, everyone contributes to it, but it is like Twitch bringing up the rear and just blasting his ass with EMPs until he finally folds. That actually does him in.
Yep. And they put him in the dugout. They put him in the special underground clubhouse. Alita is there.
So Bumblebee has the thought, he's like, okay, we need to like get him to be safe, but there's also the very real possibility that he's gonna wake up and still be big mad, so we need to put him in a containment zone first.
Yes, he's like, we got to put him in a soothing environment surrounded by familiar faces to kind of talk him out of it, right? To talk him down.
And also 10 feet concrete walls.
Yeah, that also helps quite a bit. And it does. He kind of comes back to himself, and this is finally where we learn who voices him. It's fucking Keith David.
Yeah, I was about to say, please do the honors. I know you want to.
It's motherfucking Keith David as Grimlock.
Which is makes for a fascinating, as you might expect, a fascinating version of Grimlock.
Yeah, not really the kind of voice many Grimlocks have had. You know, you have your caveman speak Grimlocks. That's like the most common Grimlock, right? And then you have Earth's or Cyberverse sort of like
This Flash is closest Gordon. To Cyberverse. This yeah. is closest to Cyberverse, if he's there not, was another one.
He's not as much of a cornball, though. He's not quite so...
No, he has not walked out of the pages of, like, a pulp magazine the way yeah. that, like, Cyberverse did. I mean, all of that being said, like, Keith David has done a fair amount of voiceover work.
Oh yeah, he's a huge, he is not a stunt casting guy. He is a voice actor. He's a very well established
yeah.
voice actor. He was Spawn in the HBO animated series and all that stuff. He's been in a fuck ton of video games. He was in fucking Amphibia, you know?
Yeah, he was in Amphibia. He's the narrator of Craig and the Creek, one mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah, so he is.
Yeah.
He's not one of these guys that you get in your show to be in it for the publicity, right? Or your movie.
Yeah.
He's actually a voice actor, and he does a pretty good job here. So Grimlaw, immediately, Alita One is like, hey, you're, like, pretty fucked up after all that stuff with Mandra. Do you want to talk about it? And Grimlock says, nope, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need to talk about it. I'm fine. Nothing, no lingering trauma there. I'm good.
Yeah. I'm over it. Why aren't you over it?
Yeah. Alita's like, okay.
Alita very clearly, like, does not believe it. But, yeah. like, she's like, I'm not going to push it here. Like, if you say you're okay, I'm going to trust you on this. And he's like, you know what? It'll be good. I'll get to meet the little ones. And everyone else has, you know, imprinted on them. So I want my chance to do that, too. And he goes over where it is Twitch, Jawbreaker, and I think Mo, right? Yes, it is Mo, because she's the one who calls him soft-hearted.
Yeah.
Later at this point. And Jawbreaker in particular is talking about how cool Grimlock is, and it's like, man, the Dinobots were like the fiercest of all of them. They were so cool. And we get like more flashbacks in the comics, and when Conehead mentioned
And Jawbreaker is really like, he's feeling frustrated. He feels as though, because he lacks an alt,
he's
mode,
been typecast,
yeah, he's not really able to participate in fights the way he wants
right.
to.
Right. We forgot to mention during this fight with Grimlock where they subdued him, mm-hmm. That all of them, so like Bumblebee can't really participate because his arm is janked, but all the rest of the like Multibots like jump into the fray, except when Jawbreaker tries to. I think it's Hashtag who's like, don't, like, yeah. this is too dangerous for you. Yeah. Like that's a big fire breathing dinosaur, you're just gonna get hurt. Let us take care of this. And he's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, the Dinobots were never shelved. They were always out there on the front lines busting heads.
Fundamentally untrue. Swoop has been shelved many a time.
You guys are the baddest motherfuckers out there. And so he wants to train with Grimlock. He wants Grimlock to teach him how to be a man. And so it's going to go fine.
Yeah.
This mostly involves tossing cars around, by the way.
Yeah, but in fun and interesting new ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a combination of, like, just attacking things and, like, a game of don't let it touch the ground.
Yeah, so Grimlock has, like, seismic stomps and stuff in addition to his fire breath.
The animation on... I want to talk about seismic stomps because the animation looks really fun, actually.
Yes.
There's, like, this... wave of this like blue light wave that comes out from his foot. It's fun. It's like nice.
It's like a big AOE attack.
Yeah.
And he's telling Jawbreaker, like, you know, you have a lot of, like, some people have like the strength of rage inside of them. You gotta control it and let it flow through you, but not consume you. Under no circumstances should you let it consume you.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, you gotta control that shit.
I'm great. And Jawbreaker's... at it. I'm so good at it. I never have problems.
No, it is actually very funny that he's like, my shit is so unlocked. Look how unlocked I am. But he does like come over to the kids immediately before they start training back in this earlier scene, and he's like, So, sorry about Philadelphia.
I wasn't really myself, you know?
Not my greatest hour. Oops.
And Jawbreaker is getting really into it. He's having a great time. He's getting more and more confident hucking these cars around.
He has a moment that is literally like, do you just want to go apeshit?
Yeah, that is pretty much the instruction. Like, Grimlock's like, look, man, and sometimes it's good to go a little apeshit.
But you can see there's some point where, like, for something in Jawbreaker, because he's like he starts off very tentatively about it. Because he's a nice, sweet boy. Yes. As Mo and Twitch in the scene earlier were like, you're not really Dinobot material, Jawbreaker, and that's okay. You don't have to be. You can just be sweet. Like, it's okay. It's an okay thing to be a sweet boy. Mm-hmm. But there is a moment for him as he sort of gets used to the idea, I guess, that so the first time he tries to hit one of the cars, he knocks off the rearview mirror by accident. And he goes, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do it. And Grimlock's like, good god.
I got a lot of work ahead of me.
But yeah, there is like a distinct moment in the middle of this where he's like, I want to kill.
he's really like, into it.
Like, he gets way too into it way too quickly.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, Grimlock, remember, I want more training. Well, let's wrestle. Remember when we wrestled in the bot brawl when you were mind-controlled? That was so sick. And Grimlock... Well,
first, he steals the thunder from Hashtag.
Yeah.
So...
Well, no, this is before this. There's one before this where he mentions the bot brawl.
Oh, yeah, right.
Grimlock starts feeling, and then he's like, let's go see what it leads up to.
Right, that's right. He's like, kid, you're triggering me. We need to go.
Let's go talk to your aunt, your cool lesbian aunt, who's... currently throwing rocks at Hashtag.
Well, clearly she's bi since
that's true.
Unless she's force-femming Optimus, which I guess is an option.
It's an ongoing project.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hashtag and Alita are in a quarry. And
sorry, I'm just thinking I could fix him. I can make him a woman.
Great.
Anyway, so, sorry.
Alita's actually teaching Hashtag like the stuff she did in the first episode where she's skating on her alt mode's tires in robot mode.
She's very good at this, by the way. Mm-hmm. Hashtag, my feelings towards Hashtag have sincerely increased over the last couple of episodes, I would say.
She's great. I love her a lot. But yeah, then Jawbreaker jumps down and starts punching the boulders. Alita's throwing in a Hashtag, and Hashtag's like, hey man, like, save some for me, you know? This is supposed to be my training, not yours.
He does not do that. He is, in fact, too deep into bloodlust now.
Yeah, he's like, I want to punch, I want to hit, I want to kill, let's go!
That when Hashtag attempts to get this next rock that Alita is heaving at her, Jawbreaker punches through the rock and into Hashtag, leaving her prone on the ground. And everyone is like, whoa.
He starts pestering Grimlock some more, talking about the bot brawl. And Grimlock, like, seismic stomps the ground. The visual indicator for his, like, flashbacks is that his visor begins to turn red, by the way.
Yeah, he keeps switching between making Paragon and Renegade decisions.
Yes. And he's like, you need to fucking... he's like, shut up, stop it. And smashes the ground, which loosens a wall of the quarry.
In a perfect hole.
And dispenses some dinosaur fossils.
Kid, you heard about hadrosaurs?
Well, this is a pachycephalosaur.
Sorry, pachycephalosaurs. I always get the two of them confused.
You can always say hadrosaurs are big and the bills. Pachycephalosaurs are
the duck bills. I know. Oh, sorry, no. The reverse. Yeah,
they are the ones with the hard heads, the domes. And they're also generally smaller.
They're not that hard, actually.
That's true.
I have some dinosaur facts this episode. How do you like that?
There's been studies that they probably did not. They were not like combat things. They were mostly used,
no.
They were
display.
They were display, and they also did like, you know, mating combat where you don't actually hit each other, but you do the thing.
Yeah.
But that's been coming under dispute. Anyway, everyone's like, holy fuck, Grimlock, are you okay? But Jawbreaker, in a trance, just walks towards the bones and transcans them and turns into a Dinobot.
Which is apparently his outlier ability.
He's a Dinobot.
It turns out, well, not that being a Dinobot necessarily, but apparently transforming good is something that is both impossible to achieve and normal to want.
Like, okay, so how is this any stranger than Nightshade scanning a statue to turn into, right?
Like, well, I think my understanding of it is, particularly given Tarantulas's sort of description of, like, you can do whatever you want, right? Like, you can be whatever you want, is that there is no visual cue for what this should actually look like, right? Like, when he scans it with, like, all the spikes in place, the ridges and everything, you know, details about claws and skin and all that that obviously don't exist in bones. And also, the bones are disparate. They're not, it's not like a put together skeleton, you know?
Right.
So I think it's more, my interpretation of it was that it is remarkable that he could basically see a broken puzzle and put it together through scanning.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, everyone's pretty impressed. Mo knows.
Well, they're impressed. Grimlock and Alita are also like, like, Grimlock's like, that's not how that works, right? And Alita's like, yeah, no, that boy ain't right.
Which begs the question, how the fuck did Grimlock get his alt mode?
Well, again, right, like, probably similar to the way it worked in G1. Maybe he went to a museum. Maybe he just, like, saw, like, a record. So, maybe he went to dinosaur mini golf on Clifton Hill in Niagara, Ontario.
He scanned an animatronic T-Rex or something. We're like, yeah. If you scan, like, an articulated museum display skeleton, then, like, is that, like, I guess it is just, like, he, I don't know. This whole thing is, like, a bit too muddy for me.
Or maybe it was a toy. Listen, we see from Nightshade that it doesn't have to be 1-to-1 in terms of size.
That's true.
They scanned the owl that they scanned was a decoration on top of a mausoleum. That was super tiny. So, you know, there's a number of ways realistically that Grimlock could have been like, and also this was originally on Cybertron, I think.
Well, no, like, obviously he would have gotten the... Look, the Dinobots always have, like, new, you know, they always have, like, a unique explanation for how
they got dinosaurs. To be... Yeah.
In the original Marvel comics, it was the Savage Land, which is, like, a sort of, like, land out of time thing that Marvel has where there are dinosaurs. And Grimlock walked in there. In IDW, they literally landed on Earth, like, in dinosaur times.
Listen, I think there are a number of ways that Grimlock could have found a complete model of...
The G1 cartoon, Ratchet and Wheeljack built them in a cave, all that sort of thing.
You can just make a son. Simple make five things. Of them. Who gives a shit?
But regardless of what exactly this means for Jawbreaker... Mo immediately identifies the thing he turns into as a Stiggy Moloch. And she says that they are all over Pennsylvania.
You want to get this out of your system now?
It's like, it's just like, wow, every word out of your mouth was absolutely fucking wrong. It obviously isn't as egregious as the Cyberverse one, where they just, I don't know what happened there, but... Okay, so Stiggy Moloch is... a real name that was used for a dinosaur. Now, the fossils for it were all found in Montana, not Pennsylvania. But we'll that's not even really the biggest problem. Because Stiggy Moloch is not a valid genus anymore. you know, they basically rolled it into Pachycephalosaurus. They found that it might not actually be a different animal. It might have been the same animal.
Well.
So, sorry, Jawbreaker, you turn into a fake animal. Oops.
But it's real in his heart, and that's what matters.
I do like that they did go out of their way to, like, find a not, like, a... Like, Stingy Moloch is sort of a... an out of the way dinosaur to go to if you're making a dinobot. Like it's not really, Pachycephalosaurs in general aren't really one of the big, like, you like to call them the, like, plastic tube dinosaurs, where if you get like a plastic tube of dinosaur toys at the dollar store, those are the guys that are in there. There's not really a Pachycephalosaur in there, but
no, which is a shame.
They're fun. But yeah, he turns into a Stingy Moloch. What do we think of Jawbreaker's new design?
It is not what I expected his ass to look like.
No,
I can tell you that much.
I'm going to be real with you, Jawbreaker. I miss when you were around.
Yeah.
He looks very, so cute.
It's very, very angular. Also, I did tell you he'd be orange.
Yeah, he is indeed orange. So, yeah, he's a Stingy Moloch now. And he's super hyped because he's like, oh my god, I'm a Dinobot now. Hell yeah.
He is small and angular and, like, fast. It's a very weird design choice for him.
Yeah, you would think Jawbreaker would get something a little, like, you know, more round and stuff to match his old design.
They should have made him an Ankylosaur.
Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been fitting because, like, that is it's a
yeah,
it's herbivore and it has a lot of defensive stuff. But obviously,
yeah, they should have made him an Ankylosaur, and it's not used by any of the other Dinobots either. So if, like, that was the concern, then it doesn't have to be. Whatever. I'm mad about it. He looks like shit. I'm sorry. He still looks okay in his root mode, but his alt mode looks bad. And watching him talk in his alt mode is very bad.
Yeah, the actual Stingy Moloch face and
it's no good.
He's got like a weirdly tiny head as a Stingy Moloch.
It's just, you know, it's just no good.
It's just no good. But anyway, he's like, hey Grimlock, let's do some more training, and then he says the word mandroid. And that
He digs himself, so he, like, goes on for he picks up on zero cues throughout this, because he says, like, about a paragraph about Mandroid, and then, and, like, every time he says the name, Grimlock is like, hey, I need you to, like, chill out and stop talking about this. You can, like, see him, like, fighting it off, and, like, fighting the PTSD off and all of that, and he's like, stop, 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 and then it's like, and eventually Jawbreaker's like, well, why should I stop? It's not like you're having post-traumatic, like, flashbacks or anything. And that does it.
Yeah, then he's having these like waking nightmares about a giant mandroid picking him up like a toy.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought instead of mandroid being really big, it was him being really small, which does matter.
That's true. Yeah, it's not that mandroid is huge. It is that Grimlock feels powerless and helpless, and he doesn't
exactly.
Like that. So he goes, his eyes go red, he turns into dino mode, and we begin the third act of Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World.
What we do get here is, like, really funny in comparison to what we saw in Cyberverse, though. because, I mean, Nira and I talked about this, like, last episode, but this is different than them being in Philadelphia because it wasn't an attack or chase or, like, an action scene. This is Grimlock on the loose in the streets of Witwicky, which is very much populated by people.
Yeah, there's everyone running around screaming like it's a fucking Godzilla movie.
Except for one woman, God bless her.
Yeah, she's just out here living her life. Her car, I hope her car is covered. There's gotta be fucking Cybertronian attack insurance on this version of Earth, right? Like, that's definitely a thing you can get.
For sure there is.
I mean, if you're living in Witwicky, that's like a must-have. You gotta get that shit. So they have to try and get and wrestle Grimlock down, which is easier said than done, because he is going ape shit.
Yeah. It's not looking great.
Alita starts with the let's talk him down, and when that doesn't work, she's like, okay, yes. I'm gonna tase and him.
Importantly, so when Grimlock goes nuts, it's the five of them who are in this training ground. It's Grimlock and Jawbreaker, obviously, Mo, who's been around throughout this process, watching hashtag, specifically watching hashtag and Alita while they were training. Mm-hmm. Girls night. And then Alita and hashtag. And as soon as that happened, like, first of all, Jawbreaker's like, oh no, this is all my fault. And like, you could see Alita being like, it sure fucking is. But like, thinking it sure fucking is, but then saying, we'll deal with that later. Hashtag, you're with me. Mo, babysit your brother. I'm not doing this.
Yep. But Jawbreaker heads over there anyway. He feels guilty. By the eventually, way,
eventually.
Just a note. Jawbreaker does say to Alita once after he scans the bones and becomes the pachycephalosaur, that his like, oh, you're right. It my spark just it felt right. So it just happened. And also, at the end of that episode where he was interviewing people, he told hashtag that she would be the first to see his new alt mode. She was.
Yeah, that's cute. But yes, that is also why, like, leans into the idea that he is particularly good at transforming, whatever that means.
You're gonna get great at transforming.
Yeah. There is a point before, so Mo and Jawbreaker, while Alita and hashtag are fighting Grimlock, Mo and Jawbreaker sort of have a heart to heart. And Jawbreaker's like, God, I've ruined everything. I'm so stupid. And Mo's like, don't call yourself stupid. Like, don't say that. It's like, listen, we're growing up. Things are going to change. But like, I'm sorry I called you sweet and that I didn't think that you could be fierce. Like, obviously you can be. But like, no matter who we become, like, we gotta be true to ourselves. Like, let's make that promise. They make the promise, and then Jawbreaker's like, okay, now we have to go and stop Grimlock with the two of them. And they get there to see Alita riding Grimlock like a horse?
Yeah, she's literally trying to wrangle him like a bull. Doesn't work.
Don't call me a cowgirl till you see me ride.
And yeah, he is fucking kicking hashtag and Alita's asses just all over WitWiki.
Hashtag even has a really funny line about this where she's like, this was a lot easier when it was 5-on-1.
Yeah. You know, the numbers game, it's catching up to you. This is when Jawbreaker runs in and he fucking head, because he has a seismic headbutt now as well. That's his new
ability. Not how those worked.
It's fine. He fights Grimlock and tries to get through to him, and he eventually does.
This is so corny, but it is something that hits me every single time I see it, which is, you know, he fights Grimlock away from immediately hurting anyone, and then transforms back to root mode, and the line is, I know I'm looking at a dinosaur, but Grimlock, I see you.
Yes.
And they hug. Like, I see you, like, the idea of being, and like, this is so, I feel, particularly amongst marginalized communities, such an important thing, the idea of being seen for your authentic self. Mm-hmm. So it's corny as hell, but it do work, and it do make me tear up a little.
Look, sometimes that shit hits.
And he's okay.
Yeah, and they hug, and it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, it'll continue to be fine in the next episode, Disarmed.
Yes. Trust me. So Disarmed, we start off with Swindle, his boy.
He's breaking his brother out. He's going to get Hardtop out of there.
Unlike Griffin McElroy, he didn't abandon his boy.
He's been planning this for months. He's got the whole thing worked out.
This is the most integrity a Swindle has ever had.
Look, this Swindle would not sell his brother to Satan for one corn chip.
Three, maybe.
Three, he would consider it, but not one.
Not one. He has been trying to track Swindle's, Hardtop's location. and he's digging a tunnel that he's convinced will get him right outside Hardtop's cell. That's correct, right?
Yes.
He believes, like, right underneath a Hardtop cell.
He's like, I'm going to get right under there, and I'm going to tunnel him out like it's the fucking Great Escape.
Yeah.
and we'll see where he, we'll see how his successful effort later. Meanwhile, Dot, Robbie, and Optimus are hanging out at the ranger station. And Dot's like, hey, Optimus, I'm getting some weird Energon rating, like, readings. And it
I got
seems
an Energon signal. It's coming, and it's coming fast.
And then Swindle pops out of the ground and goes, I'm here to save you, brother. Fuck. And runs.
I want to say the lines before this, because it's one of the funniest exchanges I've seen in the show, in my opinion, so far. Which is, before he does anything, Optimus is like, Swindle, before you do anything brash, please listen. And Swindle just looks at him and goes, no thanks.
And then immediately does something brash.
And transforms into his Jeep mode and, like, jets it out of there.
Yeah. So it's time for a chase. Optimus chases Swindle down. Dot drives after Optimus in the Ranger and the Ranger truck.
After telling Robbie to, like, get inside.
Stay. Yeah, do not...
inside, like, the Ranger station. Yeah. Surprise, he did not do that.
Yeah, surprise! He's in the bed of the truck. And Swindle tells Optimus, hey, you better stop bringing your human pals to battles, because guess what, motherfucker? I'm not afraid to shoot a child. You know me. Look, literally the last time we saw Swindle, he was holding Mo at gunpoint. So we know this about him.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't shot her, but...
he loves his brother.
This
The list stops there. The list ends at Hardtop. That's it.
This is... Robbie should not have survived this.
But, thankfully...
But does!
Because he's blessed by Jesus.
He's blessed by Robot Jesus, that's right.
The Cyber Sleeve has a big fucking shield it can deploy now. Don't know when he figured out he could do this. I guess after the big shield everyone made in Home Part 2, he was like, I wonder if I could do that on my own.
That's a good point, because I was also trying to figure out how he thought he could do this.
Yeah, I wonder if he was like, well, we all made a big one together. What if I made a small one on my own?
Oh my god, teenage boys are the stupidest people on Earth.
Uh-huh. And yeah, so he has this big old shield. Swindle is, he gets fucking got. Optimus slaps a restraining bolt on him when he's not looking. And is parked behind them the entire time of this scene continues, which ends in a very funny bit later.
Yeah. Dot is horrified by this.
Yes, she's like,
as
what
she should
fuck?
Be.
Yeah, why you cannot do this. And I like this line she has here. Where
yeah,
like,
please. I was
look at
say
me,
it
you
didn't...
are my heart walking outside my chest. I need you to stay safe.
It's so good.
And Robbie
Damn,
says, but
the writing in the show hits.
And Robbie says, but it's cool. And Optimus says, you're right.
Yeah, so, yeah, Robbie is like, put me in, coach. Like, check out what this sweet thing can do. And Dot is like, absolutely not. And then Optimus is like, I think I could weaponize this. And
he's like, well, he was chosen by one of 13 robot Jesuses.
And yeah, so Optimus is like, I think we could weaponize this. And Dot's like, you think? and Optimus is like, yeah, well, based upon what I know, like, 75% sure, let's call it.
Yeah.
And Dot's like, fine, I guess. And it's like, no, Dot, no!
Do not let Optimus say, I bet this seems pretty good. This seems like a good idea.
Do you want to do Swindle's line here?
Yes, because then after all of this, you hear a beep, and he says, don't act like I'm not here!
Screwed.
So, okay, now I just, Optimus, I don't know, he needs to think. So they go back to Autobot headquarters, which, may I remind you, is also Ghost headquarters, and brings all the Terrans.
Yeah. where brother. Wheeljack is with a ghost stamp on his chest. Wheeljack, no!
He fucking finally joined up. Teletrainer 1 is here, though.
Great.
I like to see him.
It's like everyone of any importance is in this one small ghost room. That should be fine.
That's nothing bad can happen because of that. It's okay. Meanwhile, beneath the ghost base, Croft walks up to Mandroid and says, "You look like fucking shit. You look like absolute garbage. I should kill you right now."
Well, actually, there's one thing. There is one thing I want to talk about before we get to that scene. Mm-hmm. Which is that they're talking about everything. So before they have that scene is when Optimus tells them about the, or at least starts telling them about the Matrix. So
yeah, we get Matrix confirmed for this universe.
Yeah. So Optimus and Wheeljack are talking to each other about like the shield that Robbie just generated, and Mo and Robbie are like sitting on Teletran 1 and like looking over, and they're like, "This is so cool," or whatever, and they're all debating anything and everything, and Wheeljack's like, "I haven't seen anything behave like this except an Optimus finishes. Yes, I know, the Matrix." And they're like, "What's the Matrix?" And then Optimus flashes them literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, he opens his chest and he's like, "Let me tell you about my backstory."
Yeah, he's like, "Let me show you my tits and also flashbang you at the same time."
We don't
check
need
this
to tell you. Yeah, we don't need to tell you what the backstory is. It's the same backstory every Optimus has.
Orion Pax. This one was a dock worker or the clerk?
He just says he was an ordinary citizen. He doesn't specify.
Yeah, I think it looked like the dock worker to me. It looked like manual labor,
but
whatever.
Yeah, he was holding like a spade or a stick or something.
Yeah. Anyway, manual labor gets chosen by God, gets the Matrix, whatever. So they're working on that. Now we get Croft.
Yeah, Croft, you look like shit. Fuck you. Why do I even do this? He's like,
he's like, oh, I can't. He's like, you need to get me. He's like, if you can get me one of those fucked up sleeves on those kids' arms or whatever, I could do so much. Or like,
he doesn't because Croft doesn't know about this, but he finds it later because he hacks into
right,
which I guess means so presumably, Ghost cannot by default look into the Autobot base,
right? Correct.
He has to like force his way in.
Or at least not right. Yeah, by default, you said. I'm sure there are people like Croft who have access to those cameras.
Croft definitely knows everything, including the Terrans. Like, she definitely knows everything.
Oh yeah. But she certainly does after this episode. She doesn't even blink at what goes on in this episode. So yes, she certainly does. But I forget what exactly he asked for.
He needs. He just needs Energon. He needs something to deal with his condition, which is he has grafted Cybertronian arms onto him, and it's killing him slowly.
I think it's just asking for a second chance of him being like. I think he's just asking for more time. And she responds. her response to this is so good. It is. I suppose you're no good to me, dead, and we already tried that.
Yep.
I know she sucks and is like objectively evil, but like I think I support women's wrongs.
She's girl bossing it up.
At least she's funny while she's doing it.
By the way, we also get to see all of the other 13 in silhouette here with all of their artifacts, and I can definitely recognize a few of them. We got the Forge of Solus Prime over there. We have the Star Saber. And we have the Enigma of Combination. I can see it right there. So I'm sure that'll come up at some point.
No, I'm sure none of these guys will be important ever again, actually. There's no Cybertron left. How could they be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what all of these other ones are, though. Some of these just look like shapes. There's like, I'm Onyx Prime, and I'm holding a triangle. I was like, sweet. I don't know what that is.
And I'm holding Shockwave's big eye.
and you're watching the Disney Channel.
And I'm watching a furry alt. I'm holding a furry alt form.
So we got. Oh, it looks like according to the TF Wiki, some of these are like a little different because there's a few guys who are missing, like Micronus Prime. Well, maybe he's there. We just can't see him
because he's so micro. Yeah,
he's so small. But Optimus is like, hey, you know, we can test the limits of these sleeves in a safe and controlled environment in the Autobot rec room. We'll go to the danger room. Don't worry about the name. It's never dangerous. And Mandroid, who, of course, has been watching this whole thing and knows about the cyber sleeves and the embers, and at this point says, ooh.
Also, like, when they go to the room again, or when they're, like, suggesting doing training, again, Dot is like, absolutely not. They are children. Do not do this to them.
Optimus is like, it's fine.
Yeah. And again, she capitulates. I'm like, Dot, I need you to stand up. I know you know the right thing to do here.
It's hard to say no to Optimus Prime, I guess.
Not for her. Never has been in the past.
So
she hates his ass.
I guess it's sort of those things, right, where I can see where she's coming from. If it's like, well, it doesn't. Robbie's gonna keep trying this shit anyway, almost certainly. Like, it doesn't really matter what I say to him. He's 15. He's surrounded by cool robots from space. He's gonna try to do the shit again. I suppose she wants him to at least be somewhat more prepared if the situation comes up again. However, the situation that comes up again is not one you can really be prepared for, because
no one suspects the Mandroid Inquisition.
Yeah, Mandroid hijacks the simulation after they call his Arachnamex mid.
It's great. They're having a training session, and Robbie's like, yeah, these Arachnamex are like great for like level one mob characters. And then Mandroid makes the systems glitch out, so Optimus gets called away and immediately goes. Immediately, as soon as he's out, the rest of the Multobots are like, yo, hashtag. Hashtag, yeah. Could you do us a solid and like bump up the difficulty here?
This is just the fucking, well, it's not quite Sasha's shooting gallery from Psychonauts, because the accidental overdrive isn't actually their fault. But yeah, hashtag is, she's gonna turn, you know, she's gonna bump it up to medium. They don't need to be on very easy, right? They're beyond that. But Mandroid says, actually, I'm putting it up to nightmare difficulty. And yeah. Spawning in final boss Megatron.
So this has to be, it is not specifically the fight for the space bridge, but it has to be calling back to that, right? Yeah. It's either a specific callback to it, or they just didn't want to make a new scenery of background, which I guess is fair.
It is in a big canyon. It's not the same time of day, but it's definitely that sort of
I'm like certain it is 90, really, at least 90% the same assets.
If they really wanted to go all out, they should have had this be on top of a dam, because they have Megatron with the Energon mace in this episode. So if they really wanted this to be like an old Autobot training program back when they were still fighting Megatron, it should have been on top of the dam, like in the first episode of G1.
Yeah.
Or maybe the second. I don't remember when the actual fight takes place. But, yeah, this is hard. This is extreme mode, as I said. And the only way to stop Megatron, you can't beat him. The only way to stop him is to, like, go to the console and end the simulation.
Yeah, there's, like, a hard exit that hashtag can hack through, yeah. After being kicked out of the Matrix by,
yeah, when she gets kicked out,
she starts says, having traumatic flashbacks.
She says, oh fuck, not again. And yeah, she almost immediately recognizes that it's some Mandroid shit, right? Like, I know this feeling, that motherfucker is around. And yeah, they basically just have to hold Megatron off while they while hashtag tries to get to the console there, and while Mandroid is constantly fucking with the goddamn like difficulty slider, and everyone else is distracted because Mandroid has like glitched the ghost control center to distract everybody else. So like Wheeljack,
yeah, it's what
Croft,
it's what
Optimus, and Dot
Optimus got
like
called away to look yeah. at. Croft absolutely knows what's going on.
Yeah, in her head, she's thinking, that fucking asshole.
Yeah, you can see her, like, right next to Wheeljack and Daw and Optimus being like, this motherfucker.
And so, yeah, they just, the other Multobots kind of get fucking tossed by Megatron here, leaving only Robbie. And earlier, you know, Optimus did the thing about, you know, the Matrix is meant to light your darkest hour. And so,
yeah, this is literally Green Lantern.
It is. He does have Green Lantern powers.
This is literally Green Lantern complete with, in brightest day and darkest night.
Yeah. So he says, the thing he says when Megatron is bearing down on him with his Energon mace, he's like, in my darkest hour, Quintus, give me power. And Quintus says, you got it, boss. And turns him into a
behold mech. Green Lantern's light. Like, yeah. This does not. This really does feel like, okay, but make sure it doesn't look like mine.
Yeah.
Can I copy your homework?
So Robbie turns into a mech. He gets like a big ass Energon like shell of his own body to fight Megatron with. And I love Mandroid's reaction because he just goes, What?
it's not even
a flat what. It's a genuinely like baffled like what?
Listen, what if you can't make your own robot, a store bot is fine.
Yep. And
become your own mecha. Fuck it.
He fights fake Megatron here. And almost, you know, he's doing pretty good until Megatron grabs the arm that has the cyber sleeve on and starts squeezing.
I thought his arm broke.
Yeah, me too. At this point, Hashtag has begun getting control of the simulation again, and slowly kicking Mandroid out.
There is a visible crack in the cyber sleeve.
There is, yeah. So he was going to tear it out. Okay, look, here's the thing. Mandroid has graduated from, I'm going to get these robot arms, to let me cut off this child's arm. I need to look at it.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm trying to remember what fandom it is where people just rip off people's arms.
That would be Friends at the Table. People lose hands all the time.
It sure is Friends at the Table.
People lose hands all over the goddamn place.
It is Friends at the Table. It's Friends at the Table for arms, and it's Clamp for eyes.
Yep. So, yeah, he almost gets his arm ripped off. But then Hashtag finally completes the counter hack. And Robbie just fucking decks this hollow Megatron.
Notably with the broken arm, which had been, like, lying limp at his side up to that point.
And there's, like, cross sparks and shit. Some anime shit happens briefly.
Yeah.
And then the entire base is flooded with Quintus Prime energy. And everyone else is like, what the fuck? And Optimus immediately knows, oh, shit.
That's Quintus. he's like, what do I, like, why does this feel so familiar? My tits!
Yeah. And immediately Wheeljack and Dot run to the rec room to try and peel it open.
Robbie's dead.
Yeah, Robbie is in the Family Guy death pose on the floor.
He saw Nova Storm last time and he was like, yes. Man, I gotta do that.
Dead as fuck. No one can feel him anymore, but it's okay. So Mo holds onto his cyber sleeve, and they both glow green. And we get this freaky effect where, like, Robbie's body pulses green, and you see his fucking bones and shit.
You ever been to the Bodies exhibition? Yeah. So we get each layer.
Yeah, we do get the bones and then the meat and all that.
So we get the bones first, skeleton first, then organs, then like nerves and blood.
Yeah,
and blood system. Like, no one else sees this though. Somehow, no one comments on it, so no just one like, sees this.
Just like Grimlock's eyes, it's just for us.
Just for us.
Just for the viewers.
A little treat for us.
Yeah. So He's back. He's back to life. I wonder what he saw on the other side. If he saw Quintus, we'll never know.
I was legally dead for 20 seconds.
That's right. The Optimus is over there, like, pulling his collar, like, she's gonna be pretty mad at me about this. But this does not come without consequences, because all of the other Terrans realize, so they couldn't feel Robbie, but after Mo brings him back, they can't feel anybody. They are completely severed.
Yeah, like a wave passes over them and they all like gasp at once.
Yeah.
And they're like, this feels fucked up. I hate it.
Yeah, everyone's standing around and like trying to come to grips with this sense of loneliness that they have literally never felt in their whole entire life, like brief little lives, right?
Yeah.
Like they've always had this weird emotional connection to everyone else, and they can always feel everybody else, but now that shit's gone.
They've never been alone with their own thoughts.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And so everyone's sitting around and kind of coming to terms with that. And then Croft comes down to Mandroid and is like, you better have a fucking good explanation for all that bullshit. And he's like, it's fine. Get me a rock.
It's the Ember Stone.
Get me this Ember Stone and I'll build you whatever you want.
And as many of them as you want. And yeah. I'm sure that's going to go great. We have some questions.
We have a lot of questions, so we got a couple on Twitter here that I will start us out with. What is Cosplay Cast on Twitter asks, Keith David, that's right, and also asks, why does no one bring up that Grimlock's eyes keep changing color?
It's a special treat for the viewer.
Yeah, it's just a little, I guess it's like, it's not diegetic, I guess. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but.
And a mood spoosh for the viewer alone.
That's right. It's our special little view.
Yeah.
And then Z Paladin, Bao Enjoyer, Mommy Yamcha on Twitter. Do you think a Multobots combiner is somewhere in the future? I think it could kick so much ass.
That would be really good. Like, well, I mean, we did see the Enigma of Combination.
It's there. It's one of the ones where I saw it. I was like, I know that fucking thing. there's the problems, Diamond.
And given the way Combaticons are dropping, there's at least one Gestalt that needs replacing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we've got a lot of incomplete fucking Gestalts around. We haven't even seen a Constructicon yet. So, like, yeah, I would say it is, I would be surprised if there was not a Multobots combiner in Season 2. Like, I would be shocked.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
We will see. How about taking us through the Discord questionarios?
Absolutely, it'd be my pleasure. Our first one is from Short Scream Chat. What are some of your favorite Keith David roles, voice acting or otherwise? I mean, this guy, going back to The Thing, Jesus Christ, like, how do you even try to pick out something from a filmography as far-reaching and widely diverse as his? I'm not quite sure.
He has been everywhere.
You know what? I'm going to come out with maybe one a little from left field. Not too much, I don't think, but maybe not something everyone immediately goes to. I'm going to say Anderson from Mass Effect.
Oh, I didn't even know he was in Mass Effect. He's everywhere.
He is Admiral Anderson.
That makes sense. I mean, there's literally so many. Obviously, you say he's great in The Thing. He's really good as well in They Live. Famous fucking fight scene that literally lasts like 30 minutes. I mentioned Spawn already, so I'm just gonna say, I mean, he's one of the best Disney villains. He plays fucking Dr. Facilier in Princess and the Frog.
Yes,
he's got a banger fucking song. The role that I think is pretty funny though. He plays himself in Saints Row 4 as the vice president.
That is pretty good. I did enjoy him a lot in Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Yeah. Oh my god, another fucking Disney show.
As Glossrick. I'm trying to think about his like live action roles, which are also very notable. He has a lot of very, very notable.
He's in Community, obviously. God, he's really been fucking everywhere.
He was Goliath on Gargoyles?
Holy shit.
And I just found out that he did a dub voice of Tenma on Pluto.
Wow. How about that?
Well, how about that indeed? I mean, listen, he's great in The Thing.
He's so good in The Thing.
He's so good in The Thing. I mean, The Thing is just... Listen, if you haven't watched The Thing, please go do yourself a favor and watch The Thing. Genuinely one of the best movies ever created.
And one of the most fitting titles ever. Yeah, that sure is a thing. That sure is that thing.
My friend John Kiefer did that tweet.
John Carpenter's That Thing.
Yeah, my friend Kiefer made that tweet that you're referencing.
I feel so close to greatness now. Oh my god, he voiced Barricade in the first Transformers video.
Yes, he did do that. I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that. Specifically, like, not War for or Fall of Cybertron, like the 2007 video game tie-in movie to Transformers. Incredible stuff. Listen, we could talk about Keith David all day. He literally has hundreds of credits under his name,
spanning
four decades.
Yeah, 40 years.
More than 5 decades.
Wow.
Well, no, it spans like 40 years, but
I will say his very small part in Get Out is good.
Yeah. Anyway, we should move on because again, we absolutely could be here all day talking about
Knock It Out. Nope. Yeah. He's in Nope very briefly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He plays OJ's dad in Nope.
Oh, shit.
Yep. That's him.
All right. Pipe Pipe Cast Pipe Pipes asks, hey, does anyone else think Jawbreaker's post-scan robot mode has Unicron vibes? I mean, it's orange.
It's orange, and he has the horns.
And it's spiky. He's spiky.
He's got the horns. I don't think it means anything, mate. Well, who knows? It could mean something, but I doubt it.
Here's the core difference, is that it's not round. All the roundness is gone.
Yeah.
Also from Cass, they sell the figuring self out fine in this episode, but I was kind of hoping Jawbreaker would just stay a protoform for the rest of the series, given his previous episodes. Also, thoughts on Power Masters?
I'll answer the second one first. Okay, so you know, Headmasters and Target Masters, right? The gimmick from late G1 toyline.
That wasn't really a question, besides...
Well, okay, but for our viewers who may not know, because this is
not
a concept.
No, I'm saying the figuring self out part wasn't a question.
Oh yeah, I will say, I do wish he would stay in his protoform mode, if only because I like him more as a design.
Yeah.
Even putting aside any character stuff, but so you have Headmasters. That's a fairly common one, where you have a guy that turns into another guy's head, right? Then there were Target Masters, who had little guys who could turn into guns.
Who turned into targets.
Wow. So that's less common, but it still comes up. It doesn't really come up a lot in fiction, though. Power Masters were the ones who come up the least. They turned into engines. They turned into things that powered up their vehicle modes.
What a shit power.
Yeah, it's just not as cool as the other ones. Like, you get a cool gun, or you turn into a head, and you have like a fucking like symbiotic bond with a guy. And then this one's like, I turn into a
check oil light.
Yeah, this is my living nitrous canister. All right, man. So it's a living, I guess. Yeah, I never really liked Power Masters,
and that's put me in Dom.
That's probably why they never really came back as a gimmick. They never really did that again.
Sometimes things just suck.
There were other stuff that, there was obviously other toys and stuff that had vehicle mode gimmicks, but like, it being a guy doesn't add anything, right?
Yeah.
In fact, it just makes it kind of like, oh, that's all you do? Okay.
Okay, Sidewinder Sabrina asks, with the way Grimlock talks and acts about being a Dinobot, do you suppose there's a side effect to having a dinosaur form, or is this just something he has to deal with? He does seem to unlock something in Jawbreaker. Yeah, I mean, I think there might be something there. There certainly has been in other series.
Yeah, like, Dinobots are literally built different most of the time, right? Like they are, there is something about either them inherently or the act of like taking a dinosaur alt form that alters them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, you know, like in the G1 cartoon, they're just bigger and stronger because of the way they were literally built. And then sometimes...
And also stupider because of the way they were literally built.
Simple brains. But other times, there's something else about it. And I do think that it's something to do with the dinosaur form.
Yeah.
It just makes you want to go apeshit.
Yeah. Sabrina also asks, do you think we will ever see anything else about the other 11 prime items of fuck in the show? And what do you suspect they are? Well, we know some of them.
I think we're going to see the ones that are recognizable, is what I will say. I think probably the Enigma will come up, the Star Saber will come up, maybe the Forge, maybe the Requiem Blaster. I don't know what the fuck any of these other ones are. Frankly, and those are maybes. I don't think we're gonna. The only one that I think might come up, like in an actual big way, because it also has a. It's also, I think, the Enigma combination might come up because it's thematically relevant as well. Like
the Quill Star might Saber, come out.
Oh yeah, the Quill of Alpha Trion. Although he doesn't have the Quill in this, he has the Matrix in this. So I don't know if he has the Quill of Primus.
Yeah.
But the Enigma is the only one that is like. Thematically relevant to the themes of like connection and stuff. The Star Saber is just Excalibur. Like it's not something
right.
It's not terribly interesting to have a cool like it's a cool sword or cool gun, but like
giving the Maltobots the triptych mask and showing them horrors beyond their imagination.
That's right. Give Twitch the Requiem Blaster and let her cook.
So you know what? So true, bestie.
let's go.
Yeah, listen, she's like besties with Megatron. If anyone's going to get the Requiem Blaster, it's gonna be her.
Oh shit, the triptych mask is in this apparently.
Is it?
Yeah, there's something that looks like the triptych mask. Yeah.
Oh, that's so bad. Hey, kids wanna see something cool?
I think they should put that. Someone has to put the fucked up mask on.
Oh my god! No, three of them at once. Each of them gets one.
That's right.
Maltobots in a trench coat to wear the triptych mask. Jesus Christ! Oh, that's really bad. Okay, we'll deal with that when we get to that, I guess. what the fuck? Also from Sabrina.
So people who don't know, I want to give an explanation for what the fuck the triptych mask
is. Yeah, sure.
Because, so it's literally like a three tier, it is three masks stacked on top of each other.
For some context, this is the artifact of Onyx Prime.
AKA
the man who ruins everything, Shockwave.
And this is what he made. The top mask, Farsight, shows visions of other places and other times. The middle mask, Predator, gave Onyx immediate insight into any creature so that he can hunt it faultlessly.
Listen, they need to repair their psychic link.
The bottom mask, Mournsong, allows Onyx to watch the journey of a spark across the hidden regions of death.
Very cool thing. Honestly, a bizarre thing for Shockwave to have come up with, but whatever.
Well, I think it makes sense because, like, he that version of Shockwave is so much about like all being all seeing and like this like the fucking Panopticon and shit, right?
Yeah, like, it's just sense. Like really funny for like the Logic Man to be like, and I'm gonna look through the valleys of death.
No, he just didn't look through that. I was like, I don't care about that one. Fuck that one.
I made it, but that was just for funsies.
Yeah.
Christ alive. All right. Sabrina also asks, do you think any more Dad 2s, very specific wording, will be coming out of the woodwork for Earthspark? We already have about four already. I can tell you the next episode's got another one coming.
Yep. We have more mentors. Oops, all mentors.
Lot of interesting stuff happens in the next episode, which I know a lot about. But hashtags Dad 2 time. Nero from Disney Minus, viewer asks, would Jurassic Park 2 be a better or be better or worse if Grimlock was in it?
Probably better. I mean, you can improve most things if you put Grimlock in there.
I honestly, the only Jurassic Park movies I remember are the original Jurassic Park and Jurassic World.
The first one's really the only good one. The rest of them are varying degrees of fun to tedious.
Yeah. Like, the first Jurassic World was, like, fine. But, like, it was at least, like, a reboot or whatever. So I have, like, a blank slate for it
I thought 2 was way cooler as a kid because it's the one where the T-Rex, like, rampages through, like, the city at the end. I was like, wow, that's so badass. That's way cooler than Jurassic Park 1. And as you get older, you realize, wow, that movie's really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Why is Vince Vaughn there?
Well, you know.
So, yeah, I think you can improve. Just pop him in there. Fuck it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You make a bad movie too late? They already did.
Anyway, I can't say enough to know whether Grimlock would improve that or not.
I believe in him.
Great. Clip fact. Did you know that, also from Veer, did you know that Roy Mustang from Full Metal Alchemist doesn't actually snap his fingers when he does alchemy, since it's impossible to actually snap your fingers while wearing gloves? For you, maybe. He just wears a special glove that makes tiny sparks when the tip of the fingers rub together, and the snap sound comes from the sound of a flame sucking up a bunch of air, and then the surrounding air filling up with a sudden void of air that the flame made.
I did know about this. I did know about Roy Mustang's badass flint gloves.
Yeah. I can snap with gloves on, because I'm special.
Wow. Be cool. Better at alchemy than Roy Mustang, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what kind of material it's made out of, frankly. Keith David, yes or no? I mean...
Yes.
It depends on context, yep. But I would say 90% of the time, yes. And is toxic masculinity how you give yourself despair at the beginning of the world?
Beginning of the world? Maybe.
Yeah. I'm not...
I think that's what Narnia is about.
I think that's what Onyx Prime is about.
That is true!
I think that's what Soundwave is about.
Shockwave, you mean?
Okay.
Soundwave is not... Sorry. He's not a toxic masculinity
Shockwave.
Guy.
Did I say Soundwave?
You did say Soundwave.
I meant Shockwave.
Soundwave is he's a beautiful, sensitive boy. He's very in touch with his emotions.
Sure.
He loves his kitty. He loves his kitty so much that when he gets torn apart by a cosplayer millions and millions of miles away, he feels it.
Right. Slipstream Sam asks, who of the squad wears fingerless gloves like Sora Kingdom Hearts, and who wears those whack-ass palmless finger gloves things Riku wore in KH1?
Well, okay, the Mo and Robbie do have fingerless gloves by default.
Yes.
The cyber sleeves are fingerless.
Yeah, it's actually a very cool look. I really enjoy the fingerless opera glove look. It's special.
Who wears the fucked up finger sheath palmless gloves?
Wait, I have to look at this again. Give me a second.
Yeah, let me Google show me Riku.
KH1 specifically. Show oh me, fuck.
Let me see them hands, boy. Oh my god.
Oh, Nomura, what were you thinking?
Oh, they're like a detached sleeve, but if it was a glove.
They're just the tips. It's fingered. Oh, my God. I mean, I will say, it is most of the palm covered. I don't know if that makes it better, though.
It's like the heel of the palm is the only part that yeah. It's really weird.
Who wears that?
Who would think it looks badass?
I don't think this has to do with looks. I think actually Twitch wears it because of like some sensitivity issues.
Okay, yeah, all right.
That around her wrists or whatever. I don't think it has anything to do with appearance. I can't believe that anyone would think that this looks good. Genuinely, forgot, from the bottom of my heart.
I forgot about Riku's fucking car key ass keyblade in Kingdom Hearts 3. God, it's funny. Have you seen this shit?
I have not played Kingdom Hearts 3. Look. Oh, wait, I see it.
Yeah, look at that. Literally.
That's literally a key fob. That's so funny.
He's going to start his fucking Toyota Camry with that shit.
That's what, hey, if you want to break into my home, that's what, my apartment key looks like. Holy shit. Oh my God.
You didn't tell me you were a Keyblade master.
I didn't. My apartment door is.
Oh.
God damn. That's really bad. That's so funny because it's so purposeful. Yeah. Okay. Great. Good stuff. And our final questions come from Aurora Earthspark. Which Transformers are tired of being nice? Who wants to go apeshit? Well, we did cover that. And you know what? Yeah, Nero, you got any more cool dinosaur facts for us?
I mean, I'm full of them. I just, you know, let me see. Like, I'm gonna just roll through the Rolodex here to find like just a random one.
Yeah, give us like, one.
Tyrannosaurus Rex has the strongest bite force of any animal living or dead in the history of the Earth.
Fantastic stuff.
Literally crushes bone. That's pretty fucking, that's pretty badass. I mean, they have huge mouths too. Their heads are so fucking big. They're basically like a bladed hydraulic press, pretty much, that just crunches through that bone.
And now, millions of years later, they're bearded vultures.
That's right. I saw some vultures today. They bearded were hanging vultures out next to some roadkill and having breakfast.
Bearded vultures, of course, for those who don't know, being the only animal on the face of the planet currently that eat, whose diets is made almost entirely out of bones.
Great.
Important members of the ecosystems they're in.
We gotta do something with these damn bones. They're everywhere. You gotta have a bone guy to eat the bones.
It usually disdains the actual meat and lives on a diet that is typically 85% to 90% bones.
Wow. He's like, no meat for me, thank you. He's like, oh, you want some ribs, man? No, I'll just sit here and wait for you to be done with the ribs. Yeah. And you just sort of push it into my mouth.
But that's literally what they do in the animal kingdom.
Yep. Right, I'm the bone guy. I'm here to get the bones.
It's great. It's awesome.
Give me them bones, boy.
Well.
Crunch, crunch.
These bones have been prime cuts. You can find us on Twitter at Prime Cuts Pod. You can join our Discord. We should buy like a funny URL to link our Discord to, like Pod of Greed does with Kaiba.online. Join our Discord, participate, send us questions, all good stuff. You can listen to us on any podcatcher of your choice, but also on noisepace.xyz, along with a bunch of other really cool shows. I'm Audrey. You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, co-host, and Blue Sky at Optimum on Prime, which is my funny robot internet joke. You can also listen to the other podcast I do called Pod of Greed, which is about Yu-Gi-Oh! And coming up, hopefully very soon, will be more information about a radio drama that I've been cast in. And that's me.
I'm Nero. You can follow me on Twitter, Dragon Suture, co-host at Dragon Snuggler, and Tumblr at Cyclones with a 5 at the end of it. I've got a couple of other things going to get ready for you. Heidelin streams every Wednesday, podcast once a month. That's Heidelin Radio at co-host, and Talk Cycles, a monthly animation podcast, currently covering the rest of Teen Titans until we're done with the original run for the coming months. And that's Talk Cycles at co-host. Ugh, all right. Well, until next time, everyone. I am going to write another strongly worded letter to Hasbro about their sloppy dinosaur facts transform and roll out.
I'm going to flashbang you by revealing the halogen lights nestled between my tits. Transform and roll out.
Peach.
Peach.